Tripping Over You by Candy Chic, read by CookieMom6067. Good morning, Mr. President. Had a good night's sleep?
I haven't had that since 1945, Steve said, patting Monica's shoulder as he stepped out of his jet and onto the helicarrier. After Cassie had saved it from crashing to the ground in Wyoming, the repairs had barely taken 2 weeks before Monica launched it back into the sky. The resilience of S.H.I.E.L.D. was truly remarkable. So what are we dealing with here?
Remember that portal from last week?
Steve sighed. The one that spat out a giant slug monster?
Yes, that one.
Monica held up a tablet that showed a GPS map with a blinking yellow dot.
We're picking up similar readings a couple miles north of here, so we've got a team on the ground to do damage control if necessary. It's likely there will be another attack.
Great. Steve still hadn't fully gotten the slime out of his suit.
Time frame?
Any time now.
Even better.
Take us closer.
I'll head down there first, but I want the carrier's weapon systems on standby.
He held up a hand to ward off the protests that he knew would be coming.
I'm not staying up here while our men are fighting on the ground.
Technically, they're my men, Monica said. But she gave him a resigned smile.
And I've given up on trying to make you act like an actual president.
Tell Carol that, maybe she'll do the same.
They both knew she wouldn't, but there was always hope.
I'm assuming you also called in an expert.
He already knew the answer to that, but he still wanted the confirmation.
Tony's on his way, Monica said, and Steve nodded, hopefully succeeding at keeping his face nice and neutral.
Good. Let me know when he gets here.
Monica nodded and marched off to relay his plan to the ground team, leaving Steve to stew in his thoughts for a while. He'd been doing that quite a lot lately. Before Steve had decided to come back to America, he'd felt unmoored. Exile had been like living in a minefield, constantly on his back foot, dancing from one potential explosion to the other. Becoming the president hadn't changed that. Rather, it had made the paranoia even worse. But at least Steve's life had a purpose again now. The Ultimates were better than ever, leading the charge into a brighter future in this new United Nation. Steve had never been so proud of his team and everything they were doing to contribute. Monica was a force of nature. Carol always kept him on track. And Tony?
God. Steve didn't even know where to begin with Tony.
It was still a little strange to see Tony's new paint job. Steve understood why he'd done it. The Iron Patriot was a symbol meant to raise the morality of the American people after everything that had happened during the Civil War. But a not so small part of him couldn't help but think that Tony was emulating Captain America rather than the American flag, putting him on a pedestal despite everything that happened. He didn't know how to feel about that. After the way they'd left things before Steve disappeared, he'd expected Tony to be angry at him, and rightfully so. But Tony had been nothing but cordial, welcoming Steve back with what seemed like a mixture of relief and genuine happiness. It was more than Steve deserved, given that he hadn't even had the decency to properly break things off with Tony before he ditched him without a reason or an explanation. They'd barely been together for a full week before Steve had left, and a terrible part of him wondered if it even counted, or if Tony had drawn his conclusions and assumed that it hadn't mattered to Steve at all. It had mattered. But after the way he'd acted, Steve didn't know if Tony would ever believe that. He wanted to talk to Tony the moment he saw him again. But between then and now, there had never been an opportune moment, and well, Steve was afraid that he'd missed his window entirely. That was what always happened, wasn't it? Every time, Steve ended up being too late. Tony clearly wasn't hung up on it anymore, and so Steve should move on as well. But that was easier said than done when Tony was always there, still as bright and animated and impossible as ever. Steve couldn't lie and say that his feelings had changed at all in the time that they'd been apart, But maybe Tony didn't have that problem. Those were the kinds of thoughts that were keeping him up at night recently. Well, that and the multitude of new and potentially world-ending phenomena that popped up every single day. This is where the readings are strongest, Monica said, as she stepped up at his side again, pointing at a spot down on the ground where Steve could see a platoon of SHIELD agents standing at the ready with their weapons drawn, right next to a gigantic containment unit, roughly the size of an alien slug. We can't tell exactly what is going to come through the portal when it's finished cooking, but it won't be anything good. I'd say that's a pretty accurate guess. Steve took the tablet from her as she pushed it into his hands, looking at the number scrolling past the screen. How accurate is this thing? You can ask Tony when he gets here. He built it. Of course he did. Steve staunchly ignored the way his stomach flipped at the reminder. Did he say when he was going to? He broke off when the whine of repulsors echoed through the air only seconds before Tony pulled up next to the carrier, did a fancy rolling maneuver, and boarded it through the open hatch right where Steve and Monica were standing. Director, Mr. President, he said, tipping an imaginary hat. He didn't put the faceplate up, which Steve fought hard not to read anything into. Is this going to take long? I've got another appointment later today. We should be done within the hour unless something goes terribly wrong, Steve said. And Tony nodded. Great. So what am I looking at? Steve handed over his tablet so Tony could see the stream of data that SHIELD was sending him in real time. Tony glanced at it for barely a second before he sighed. Portals, eh? You never call me in for the fun stuff. Depends on your definition of fun, Steve said. We've gotten readings like this before. Last time this happened, the thing that came through caused a lot of property damage. We'd like to avoid a repeat of that. So you're trying to predict where exactly the portal will open? Tony looked up at him. Even through the faceplate, Steve could imagine the cocked eyebrow he was probably wearing. No offense, but isn't this more of a SHIELD thing? Shouldn't you be presidenting over in D.C. or something? Steve had expected this question. He still didn't have a satisfactory answer to it, telling Tony that he'd decided to show up because he'd known that Tony was going to be here. That definitely wasn't an option. Any potential threat to the safety of our nation is my concern, and there are very few people with high enough clearance to know about this one. Plus, you're hoping to get a few punches in if another monster moseys on through the portal. Tony wasn't wrong there, but the way he said it rankled at Steve a little. I'm doing a lot more than punching these days, he said, his voice clipped, and Tony sighed. I know that, Cap. Don't take everything so personally. That was rich coming from Tony. Steve knew better than to point it out. It's almost time, gentlemen, Monica said, and Tony looked at the tablet, then the ground below before he nodded. I guess it is. He turned toward Steve. I suppose you're going to stay up here and watch? Not a chance, Steve said, and Tony snorted. Of course not. Okay, let's go. Tony held out his arms, and Steve couldn't help but be a little shocked at the offer. Sure, they were on decent terms. But Steve hadn't missed the fact that Tony went out of his way not to touch him ever since Steve came back, which stung. But if Tony needed to keep some sort of distance between them to feel comfortable, then that was fine by Steve. Except now Tony was breaking that rule, and Steve wasn't the one to look a gift horse in the mouth. He stepped up onto Tony's boots, and Tony barely waited for him to get a firm grip before he shot off into the sky, pulling them into a steep dive towards the ground. Apparently, Tony couldn't resist a hint of showmanship because he waited until the very last second to drag them out of the force of gravity and into a looping spiral toward the ground where he set Steve down on the grass. Thanks, Steve said, and Tony waved him off, already back to staring intently at the tablet, and then up into the open air. Should be any second now, Tony pointed at a specific spot in the sky. Right there. They both watched with bated breath. while the seconds ticked by agonizingly slowly. It had to be at least 5 minutes before the faint glow of a portal opening started fizzling through the air. Steve pulled his shield off his back and Tony straightened his arms, ready to take off if necessary. But what fell through the portal wasn't a monster. It wasn't even a man. It was a suit of armor. "What the?" Steve murmured, eyes going wide when the armor fired up with an audible whine, streaking through the air in a blur of red and gold, a sight so familiar and yet so utterly impossible that it failed to compute in Steve's brain for a second. Then the figure twisted in midair, raising its arms in a pose he'd seen a million times before, and it clicked. "That's an Iron Man suit," Steve said, and Tony took a step forward, staring up at the sky. "Something's wrong," he mumbled right before he fired up his repulsors and took off towards the mysterious armor. Steve watched him go, unsure what had caught his attention until he noticed how the Iron Man armor's left boot repulsor didn't seem to be firing, making his descent more of a controlled fall than an actual landing maneuver. There was some unrest in the ranks of the shield agents behind him, so Steve held out his arm and barked into the comms, "Do not engage, presumed friendly." He really hoped that he was right on that count. Tony caught up with the other Iron Man while they were still a safe distance away from the ground, grabbing hold of one arm and breaking his fall much more smoothly than Iron Man had been able to on his own. They swung around in a wide arc through the air before they abruptly made a beeline toward where Steve was standing, and Steve realized only moments before it happened that Iron Man wasn't going to land on his feet, but instead, Steve brought his arms up just in time to catch the armor, grunting at the force of the impact, while Tony made a much more graceful landing a few feet in front of him. A familiar, staticky voice laughed right in his ear, and then Iron Man raised his head. It was an older model, something Tony might have worn about 5 years ago, and put up the faceplate revealing, "Steve!" An almost identical copy of Tony exclaimed, a happy grin taking over his face. "Thank fuck, it actually worked." "What the?" Steve froze when this other Tony drew him into a proper hug, pressing his bare cheek against Steve's. Steve was suddenly all too aware of just how intimately he was holding this Tony, one hand on his thigh and the other wrapped firmly around his waist. It was all too reminiscent of his first kiss with Tony, standing on the battlefield, after a hard-won victory, swaying into each other like two magnets, before Tony had lifted his faceplate and... Steve shouldn't be thinking about this. Over the armor's shoulder, he could see his Tony. Not his, just... Tony, staring at them with wide eyes. Steve had no idea what kind of expression was on his face right now, but when other Tony pulled back far enough for Steve to actually set him down, his grin dropped into a frown immediately. "Oh, great. Let me guess. First time dealing with the multiverse?" other Tony asked, and Steve slowly shook his head. We've had portals." He looked helplessly at Tony, who simply shrugged. "It's possible, I guess. If these portals can create pathways to different planets, then why not to different dimensions? It's not the weirdest thing we've seen." Steve respectfully disagreed with that. Other Tony turned to look at Tony and cocked his head thoughtfully. "Rhodey, is that you?" Tony coughed and, finally, lifted his own faceplate up. "No, it's me. Well, you, I guess." Other Tony grinned. "Nice beard, it suits you." He stroked his mustache, then his bare chin. "Maybe I should try it for myself sometime." Steve could tell that Tony was freaking out, just as much as he was, but he seemed to be keeping a much tighter lid on it. "So, multiverse, huh? You're Iron Man?" "What gave me away?" Other Tony asked with a shit-eating grin, tossing him a wink. "So you do have an actual Iron Man here. I'm guessing you built his armor, too?" Tony cleared his throat. "No, I'm Iron Man." He gestured at his suit. "Iron Patriot, technically. The paint job is new." Other Tony raised an eyebrow, studying Tony's armor with interest. "Huh. Fascinating. Why those colors?" If Steve didn't know any better, He'd say Tony almost looked a little embarrassed. Well, I don't know about your universe, but we just had a civil war, so we can use all the patriotism we can get. The light in other Tony's eyes dimmed abruptly as they snapped over to Steve, somewhat wary. Civil war? To reunite America, Steve said. And other Tony blinked, looking between them in what seemed like confusion. Reunite the country? Yes. Getting all the splintered states to agree to reunification? Steve cocked his head. That didn't happen where you're from? No, other Tony said, his words strangely soft. That didn't happen. Steve was tempted to push, but they had more important things to figure out. So why are you here? Other Tony sighed, propping his hands up on his hips. The gesture was so Tony that it finally drove home the fact that this was Tony. A different one, sure, but clearly the same in a lot of aspects. Steve wished there was somewhere he could sit down and just take a moment to process this. How many versions of Tony were out there? How many other worlds? Whoa, okay, take it easy, other Tony said, putting a hand on his shoulder and calling Steve's attention to the fact that his breathing had picked up speed and was starting to approach panicked. I know it's a lot, don't worry. I had an existential crisis too when I first met an alternate universe Avenger. Avenger? Steve asked, trying to calm himself and failing. Other Tony gestured at himself. You know, the Avengers. Earth's mightiest heroes, protectors of the universe and all that. I'm one of them. But we've also got a Hulk, Black Widow, Ant-Man, Spider-Man, Wolverine, Wasp, Hawkeye, and so on. Right now, you're leading the team over there, Cap. Tony had flinched at the mention of Black Widow, but he seemed to take it in stride quickly enough. We have a team, too. The Ultimates. Ultimates, other Tony repeated with a nod. Interesting. Why are you here? Steve asked again, finally getting himself under control enough to push other Tony's hand off his shoulder. Did you come here on purpose? Yes and no. Other Tony shrugged. Reed didn't choose this universe in particular, if that's what you're wondering. But he did mean to send me through the portal. We've been trying to figure out how to travel between dimensions, and it looks like we finally found a way that works. He looked down at his jet boots and frowned. Well, almost works. Still needs some fine-tuning if transit is enough to mess up my systems, but hey, we're getting there. Care to share? Tony asked, and other Tony laughed. Oh no, made that mistake once, won't do it again. Yeah, that wasn't a terrifying thought at all. So how will you get back? Steve asked. And other Tony tapped at a device on his gauntlet, which promptly started emitting a slight blue glow. As soon as Reed picks up my signal, he'll open a portal back home. He raised his wrist. This little baby here will make sure I'm right there when that happens. The portal will form within 6 feet of my transmitter. Pretty nifty, Tony said. And Steve knew instinctively that he would need to separate the two Tonys as quickly as possible. Clearly, there were a great many things that their own universe hadn't discovered yet, perhaps wasn't ready for yet. And allowing this other Tony to plant any seeds for potentially disastrous experiments in Tony's brain would be inadvisable at best. We'll find a nice place for you to stay while you wait, Steve said. And other Tony chuckled, his eyes crinkling with amusement. The old shoebox treatment, eh? I can live with that. Steve turned to his own Tony. Monica will need an update on the situation. Could you give her the sit rep before you head out? Tony glanced from him to other Tony and back, his eyes narrowing. You sure? You could probably use some. You did say you had another appointment earlier, Steve said. And Tony's frown dropped into a glare for a split second before his face went completely blank. Of course. My time is very precious. He turned to give other Tony a lazy wave. Good luck, mirror me. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. That doesn't narrow it down much, other Tony said. And Tony blasted off towards the helicarrier without another word. Steve didn't even realize that he was staring after Tony for way too long until he felt eyes on him, looking over to see the contemplating look on other Tony's face.
What?
Nothing. Other Tony smirked wryly. Trouble in paradise? The implication felt like a punch, right to Steve's solar plexus.
I don't know what you mean, he said stiffly.
And other Tony nodded.
Of course not. Guess I don't know myself as well as I thought. My bad.
Apparently sarcasm was a trait that spanned across multiple universes' versions of Tony.
Wonderful.
Captain Rogers! Steve turned towards the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent running up to him, returning the salute he received. Director Chang called for the return of all troops to base. Do we, He'd clearly caught sight of the other Tony because he froze, eyes going steadily wider. Other Tony waved. Do we?
Tell her we won't need the containment unit for this one, Steve said.
And the agent nodded frantically, already backing away again.
I'll put our visitor up for a few hours. Then the situation should resolve itself.
He turned to other Tony.
Or do you think it'll take longer than that?
Nope. A few hours sounds about right, other Tony smirked.
Don't worry, I come in peace.
Right. The agent cast one more uncertain look at them before apparently deciding that this wasn't his problem.
Smart man.
I'll report back to the director. Thank you for your time, Mr. President.
As you were, Steve said.
And the agent practically ran back to the rest of his platoon, glancing back at other Tony once or twice.
Steve sighed, looking down at his watch. There are a lot of spare rooms up on the helicarrier if you don't mind waiting for your pickup there. I'd arrange for a hotel, but I don't think it would be the best idea to let any civilians see you just in case.
Huh? Oh, yeah, that's fine. Steve raised an eyebrow at other Tony, whose face had slackened with what looked a lot like shock.
Something wrong?
No, I just... He turned wide eyes on Steve.
Did that guy just call you Mr. President?
Steve spent the whole trip back up onto the helicarrier, regaling other Tony with the tale of his election and a broad explanation of the events leading up to it. Apparently, none of it had happened that way in other Tony's universe, which was fascinating. No matter how many times he asked, though, other Tony refused to let him in on what his alternate history was. Maybe Steve should have been smarter about which information was safe to pass on as well, because it took barely even an hour before other Tony managed to stick his fingers right into the metaphorical gaping wound in Steve's chest. At least he'd waited for them to be alone and behind closed doors before he asked the question.
So, what's the deal with you and your Tony?
He's not my Tony, Steve said a little too quickly. Other Tony noticed, of course, giving him an exasperated look.
Right. I figured that much.
Okay, that stung a little.
What about me and him?
I don't know. You tell me. Clearly, other Tony wasn't going to make this easy on him.
Steve sighed. There's nothing to tell, really.
Yeah, try that bullshit on someone who hasn't known you for over 10 years. Other Tony put a hand on his shoulder. It took a conscious effort for Steve to not lean into the touch.
Look, I know things might be different over here, but where I'm from, you and I are
close.
Very close. So if you're having trouble with your version of me, I'd like to help you out. Consider it payback for putting up with me until I make it back to my own world.
Steve tried very hard not to let on just how much Tony's words were getting to him. Still, he had to be sure.
How close is close?
Other Tony gave him a shrewd smile.
I think you know.
Damn it. Despite his best efforts to keep calm, Steve could feel his heart hammering in his chest.
Huh.
Yeah. Other Tony looked around the room, then gestured towards the couch near the far end.
Mind if we sit?
Sure. Steve followed other Tony on clumsy feet, dropping heavily onto the cushions. He couldn't help the way he kept studying this other Tony's face, clocking all of the minute differences. This Tony Steve probably got to trace those smile lines with his fingertips, got to kiss Tony goodnight, and wake him up in the morning. The longing that welled up in him was so strong, it almost took his breath away, and he had to close his eyes for a second to gather himself. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm somewhat of an expert at sussing out my own emotional state, other Tony said, giving Steve a serious look. And your Tony didn't look very happy to be around you earlier. Steve winced. He probably wasn't. Any idea why? Steve hesitated for a second before he gave in and said, fuck it, might as well fess up to somebody. He and I had just gotten together before I went into exile, and I didn't give him any notice when I left. Other Tony sucked in air through his teeth. Okay, yeah, that would do it. The casual acknowledgement of how he'd hurt Tony hit somewhere below Steve's ribs. A sharp ache that stole his breath for a second. Yeah, he said after a pause. And to his surprise, other Tony gave him a sympathetic smile. Have you talked to him about it? No. What a time to feel like the greatest coward on earth, talking to an alternate universe version of the exact person you'd hurt. I know I should. Why haven't you? In hindsight, Steve was asking himself the same question. I don't know. Other Tony made an exasperated noise. That's a cop-out. Come on, why didn't you talk to him? Because he's already moved on, Steve snapped, not really knowing that it was what he was going to say until it was already out of his mouth. It still rang true, though. Whatever we had, that's over. Hell, we barely even had anything. Yeah, he totally looked like he was over it, other Tony said, with such sarcasm that it got right under Steve's skin. What do you know, huh? He demanded, gritting his teeth when other Tony shrugged. I fucked up, okay? Tony doesn't want to talk to me. He avoids me every chance he can. And if he wants his space, I'm not going to force myself on him. Good Lord. Other Tony said quietly, rolling his eyes before he raised his voice. Okay, imagine this. You and Tony are together for a little while. Then he disappears. And you only figure out later that it's going to be for a long time, might even be permanent, and he didn't tell you about it first. Then he comes back and you find out that he's been through hell to try and do the right thing. And yet still wasn't enough, because the world has gone to shit and the two of you are at the heart of trying to fix it. So instead of an apology, you get a mission briefing and a 10-step plan to finally get America back on track. How would you feel? Steve swallowed hard. I know I hurt him. Not what I'm getting at. Other Tony scooted a little closer, looking him dead in the eye. I know us Starks are a lot of things. But we're not stupid. He knows that the moment you came back wasn't the right time to talk things out. Hell, from the sound of it, you've both been up to your necks in busy work ever since you came back. And you're Steve Rogers. You don't do things by halves. When you're going to apologize, it's not going to be while you're halfway out the door on your way to another mission. Steve pondered that for a second. You think he's still waiting? If it were me, I'd probably be giving you space, other Tony said. You've been through a lot these past few months. Should you have told him you were leaving? Definitely. But it's not like you had much of a choice, no? Of course I did, Steve said, offended on his Tony's behalf. He deserved to know. I could have called him. I could have left a note. Hell, I could have. So why didn't you? Because I was an asshole, Steve burst out. That's all it is, okay? I threw a temper tantrum. And by the time I realized what I was doing, I was already out of the States. You could have still called him, other Tony cut in. And Steve sighed, shaking his head. Someone was tailing me. I couldn't take any risks. And the damage was already done, so right. Other Tony's eyes glinted with something sharp. So you thought you'd just wallow in your guilt and self-pity, is that it? Steve flinched, caught off guard by the harsh words. What? You were ashamed of what you did. Probably still are. And instead of confronting it head-on, you just ignore that it ever happened. An instinctive protest rose in his throat, but other Tony was right, wasn't he? Still, I didn't mean to. No, you didn't. But that doesn't change the fact that you did. Other Tony put a hand on his shoulder. Listen, Steve. I've known you, or a version of you, for a very long time. And if there's one thing I've learned throughout the years, it's that you and I are always better together. Always. No matter what else happens. Don't throw that away over something like this. Steve's eyes burned, but he quickly disguised it with a cough, averting his eyes from other Tony's piercing gaze. So you're really... You and your Steve. We're together, yeah. Other Tony smiled softly. It's never easy. Believe me. A lot of the time we fight like cats and dogs. Hell, we betrayed each other in the worst possible ways. For a moment, his eyes flickered with remembered pain. But we've only grown stronger for it. I trust him with everything that I am. And I know that he does, too. I can't imagine a life without him. Looking at this Tony's face and seeing it lit up with so much passion, so much love, Steve couldn't help but feel like he was looking at a possible future. One that wasn't just going to fall into his lap, but one that he would have to work for, potentially for the rest of his life. Somehow the prospect didn't scare him. Instead, it gave him hope. So you're saying I should talk to him, Steve said. And other Tony blinked, looking over at him and smiling a little sheepishly. That's what it boils down to, I guess. Wow, didn't mean to go on a whole tangent there. No, no, thank you. I think I needed that. The silence that fell between them wasn't exactly awkward, but there wasn't really any appropriate way to pick up the conversation thread. Steve cast his eyes around the room, landing on a familiar box on one of the shelves. Do you know how to play backgammon? Other Tony smirked. You sure you want to challenge me? I'm pretty good. Wouldn't expect anything else. Steve said, getting up to grab the box. Let's go a few rounds. All right, other Tony said, cracking his knuckles. Fair warning, though, Cap. I play to win. All in all, other Tony's visit to their universe was blessedly short. Steve was there to see him off when the device on his wrist started beeping seconds before a portal fizzled into existence on the other side of the room, interrupting their last round of backgammon. Damn, other Tony said as he got up and patted himself off. That was fast. Lucky you were saved by the bell. I had you on the ropes, Steve said, and other Tony smirked at him. Keep telling yourself that. His eyes softened into something more genuine as he clasped Steve's hand. Think about what I said. Okay? Don't have to, Steve said. And other Tony clearly got his meaning because his smile widened. All right, then. Good luck, Cap. Same to you. Steve watched as other Tony stepped through the portal, and with one last wave, he was gone. Being alone in the room felt strange, almost like waking up from a dream. But Steve didn't have time to linger here anyway. A S.H.I.E.L.D. agent was on him as soon as he opened the door. How did it go, sir? He's gone back to his own world, Steve said curtly, pushing past the agent and hurrying down the corridor. I'm headed to New York. Tell the director that I'll be debriefed tomorrow. Miss Danvers has been asking for you too, the agent called after him, but Steve didn't break his stride. If it's an emergency, she can call me, he shouted over his shoulder, before making his way up to the landing pad. Luckily, there was a jet currently not scheduled for use, so Steve punched in his credentials and headed on board. Sir? A nervous agent said as she followed him into the cockpit. You're not really supposed to take off without...
And you're doing a great job reminding me, Steve cut in, already halfway through the pre-flight checks. Now, unless you have some urgent business in New York, I suggest you deboard the jet.
Yes, sir, she said, thankfully not kicking up a fuss. Steve would have to remember to put in a good word for her with Monica.
He felt like he was buzzing with electricity the entire flight over to Tony's company building, hoping that he would catch him there. By the time he landed the jet on the helicopter pad, Tony must have gotten notice of his arrival, because he was already waiting on the roof, his hands tucked behind his back with an unreadable look on his face.
You could have called first,
Tony said in lieu of a greeting, his eyes darting between Steve's as he approached.
Something wrong with Mirror Me?
He's back in his own world, Steve said. And Tony nodded, smacking his lips.
Good, good. Wouldn't want any more Starks running havoc in this universe.
Steve frowned.
You know that's not why I sent you away, right?
Tony hummed, obviously not convinced.
Sure it wasn't.
So why are you here? Steve swallowed hard, trying to tap back into the excitement that had carried him all the way over here. But now that he was looking at Tony, his Tony, he was reminded of just how much he had screwed things up between them. He took a deep breath, trying to find the right words to convey everything he had figured out about what he wanted during these last few hours. But in the end, there was really only one thing he could say.
I'm sorry.
For a long moment, they both stared at each other. Then Tony raised an eyebrow.
That's it?
No. Steve held up his hands like he was approaching a feral animal, which probably wasn't the best choice given the unimpressed look on Tony's face.
I'm sorry. I'm saying this wrong. What I meant is, I should have apologized the moment I came back to the States.
Actually, I shouldn't have left the way I did in the first place. I just...
Okay, no. Wait. Let me start over.
Steve put both hands over his face to just breathe for a second before he looked at Tony again. Thankfully, Tony seemed to be more bewildered rather than annoyed at his antics.
I'm an asshole and a coward,
and you didn't deserve to be treated the way I did. I never wanted to hurt you, but I know I did, and I'm sorry.
Okay, Tony said carefully.
Look, it's fine. I get why you left. Can we...
Wait, I'm not done, Steve cut in, his pulse jumping with fear at the resigned look in Tony's eyes. I love you.
He only realized how abrupt that statement was when Tony whipped towards him with shock written all over his face. Instead of getting embarrassed, though, he decided to double down, if only to try and make his point. I'm in love with you. I know we weren't together long before everything that happened, but my feelings haven't changed. I know I messed up, and you probably don't even want me like that anymore, but I wanted you to know. The silence between them was deafening. Steve had to fight hard not to fidget under Tony's incredulous gaze, instead standing his ground with his head held high. Whatever Tony said next, at least Steve had gotten it out in the open.
Huh, Tony said after an excruciatingly long pause.
He didn't seem to know what to say, which was fair, really, Steve thought with a wince.
Sorry, I just...
Steve fell silent when Tony held up a hand, his eyes sharp as he looked at Steve.
You're right. It did hurt me when you left like you did.
Steve's heart sank. I'm so sorry, Tony.
No. You said your piece. Now I'll say mine.
Tony glared at him for a second longer before his gaze softened.
You're really bad at this, you know?
Steve winced, tucking his head.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of charming, honestly. Only you could make emotional constipation work for you. Steve slowly looked up at Tony, his heart thumping when he saw the fondness on Tony's face.
I'm not sure that's a good thing. Definitely not. Something to work on, maybe.
Hope burst in Steve's chest like fireworks, but he didn't want to jump to conclusions.
I'll work on that for sure.
Good, Tony smiled. Maybe we can work on some other things, too.
Steve almost swallowed his tongue when Tony stepped closer until there was merely a foot of distance between them. He could hear other Tony's voice ringing in his ears, telling him not to throw away this chance.
I don't want to lose this, he said quietly, and Tony's eyes softened with understanding.
You mean the world to me.
I know I haven't acted like it recently, but I'm going to show you. I promise.
Hell of a promise, darling, Tony said hoarsely, and Steve tentatively touched his cheek, his pulse jumping when Tony leaned into the touch.
Will you let me? He asked. And Tony smiled, tangling a hand in Steve's hair to draw him closer.
I guess you'll find out, he said, just before their lips touched.
The end.